the birth month of many wise people and many other unwise people. For those of you who might be new here, my name is Bruce Miller, better known as Mr. Bruce. And you might be comforted to know that I'm not the pastor here. I'm a deacon, a longtime teacher of children, a vocalist, substitute song leader, kind of a jack of all trades and master of none, as they say. And as Caleb mentioned earlier, Pastor Herbert and his wife Sherry are in South Carolina visiting their youngest daughter. So I'm just trying to keep his place warm till he returns next week. Just a beggar telling other beggars where to get bread, right? Anyway, if that's the case, don't judge us by today and make sure you come back next week to get the real thing. For those of you who do know me, you're probably already getting excited about an early lunch today. I'm well known for following the five B's of preaching, whether intentional or not. Be brief, brother, be brief. And I'm pretty sure that today won't disappoint you on that, but no promises. But seriously, I try not to take myself too seriously. I poke fun at myself and try to keep your expectations low. But as Caleb and I have talked about many times, we are preaching God's word, and it's powerful, no matter who is sharing it. And we serve a mighty God who can even use knuckleheads like us when he chooses, as long as we're willing. And even we can bring a truth that could help someone else. Now, I could throw in a lot of stories, jokes, anecdotes, quotes, verses, and fancy $2 words and try to impress you with my knowledge. But you'd see right through that. And that would be my message. And none of y'all are here today to hear what Mr. Bruce thinks. You're here to listen to the message that God wants you to hear today. So even though there is a lot of intense study involved, my personal formula for putting a sermon together is prayer on top of prayer on top of prayer and submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Having said all that, today's message comes from a short 3-verse passage, but it's a beautiful and comforting 3 verses that have become very dear to me and crucial to my outlook and my personal growth in Christ. In these 3 verses, we'll see that we can find rest in Christ by knowing Christ and leaning on Christ. The purpose for this message, my goal for this message today is twofold. First, of course, is that even just one of you sitting out there watching online can find rest in Christ. That would be worth all of the time, the study, and prayer that it took to put it together. But my second desire is that those of you who feel like Freedom, that last program, is not relevant to you because you're not a drug addict or an alcoholic, we'll see that it's not just an addictions ministry. It's discipleship. And I want to be very clear. I'm not intending to present a thinly veiled plague for Freedom That Lasts today, but that's where this message was born several weeks ago. And I don't feel like I can preach this message without including it. And as I've said, I fully believe that this is the message that God has given me to share this morning. For those of you who are involved in Freedom That Lasts, you might already have guessed where I'm going today. But for the rest of you, now that I've piqued your curiosity, let's pray and then we'll read the passage and that has become so precious to me and important to my growth and walk. And we'll see that we can find rest in Christ by knowing Christ and leaning on Christ, and be comforted not just on the surface, but even deeper. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share your word with others. Completely unworthy, but you can use anyone. I'm thankful for your word that you give us, that no matter how many times we can hear it, we can still find more and new truths, and that it can touch us and change us. And I pray that that would be the case today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 is where we'll start. I'm going to ask for you to stand if you're able, in respect to God's word. And as I said, it's only three verses. Follow along with me as I read these three simple but comforting verses as Jesus said them. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may be seated. Does that not paint a beautiful picture in your heart? If not, I hope it will be by the time we're done today. Now, I don't think that I have as many favorite verses as I have favorite songs, but I've never tried to count either one. But at any rate, this has become some, if not my favorite verses, my new life verse or life passage, so to speak. And as we study this more, I hope that they will touch your hearts and influence you just as they have me. But first, I want to share the background that birthed or spawned this message. Freedom That Lasts teaches that God designed us to be dependent creatures. Yes, that is the opposite of our nature and culture. But we were designed by God to be dependent on God. But because of the fall, we tend to depend on everything but God. Whether it's a big sin like drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, or what we might consider little sins like worry or fear, anger, overeating, countless other little things. But there are only two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self. So anything, big or small, that you're depending on other than God is sinful, and it won't satisfy, because it will never fill our need for God. And that leads to addictions of various types and various degrees. And that's why freedom at last is relative to all of us, because if you know it, say it with me. Jesus Christ is the only source of freedom that lasts. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Jesus Christ is the only source of freedom that lasts, right? And those of us who have been going through it can see the growth it produces, no matter what stage of Christian life you're in, from brand new believers to people who have been in church since birth. Even Pastor Herbert, I don't think he'd mind sharing it. We have all been amazed at how much we've grown spiritually. And there is definitely a need, not only in Higginsville, but in this church as well. Freedom that lasts, and trust me, this message is not about freedom that lasts, but as you've probably noticed, I have a definite passion about this ministry, and I think it's important to share, to lay the groundwork for the rest of this message. But freedom that lasts uses 2 Peter verses 5 through 7 and verse 10b as its model. And it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Each unit covers one of these characteristics. So as you learn and grow in each unit, you grow to become more like Christ. And that should be the goal of every Christian, to take steps to become more like Christ. Well, one of the requirements for the first unit, saving faith, is to memorize Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And actually, for the first time through, it only requires you to memorize verse 28, but I wanted to memorize all three. Now, probably, like many of you, I've probably read or heard these verses hundreds of times in my life, and I've always heard them and thought, yeah, that's pretty nice. That's a nice verse, right? But when I started meditating on them to memorize them, something was different. As some of you know, I drive a forklift in a manufacturing plant. And what I've started doing is I take my memory verses, I write them on a 3x5 card, and I use a magnetic clip and hang on my mast and my lift so I can glance at it. No, not while I'm driving, Donnie. But I can say it and then glance at it to see if I'm getting it, right? Well, to be honest, the first couple of days meditating on these verses, they touched my heart so much that I had trouble reciting them without breaking down in tears. And I'll tell you what, it's not easy to drive a forklift with your eyes full of tears either. And plus, everybody's looking at you and wondering what's wrong with you, right? But they moved me that much. I mean, think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, wants to give me rest and lighten my burden. So you see, I still have trouble getting through them without getting emotional. And they were so comforting to me. For the last 20 plus years, I've used Colossians 3:23 is my life verse, okay? And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And I still love that verse, but it caused me a lot of stress, especially at work, because I felt like, well, I work for the Lord no matter who signs my paycheck, and he deserves my best, and that's true, right? But because of that, I would expect perfection out of myself because that's what the Lord deserves, right? And I'd set my bar so high that I would stress about it. And I'd feel like I'd let him down if I wasn't perfect. I would literally make myself sick worrying about it, which, you know what? That's not what the Lord wants either. And Pastor Herber told me that my duty is to do my best, but that I should trust the Lord for the results. And that helped a lot. And to be honest, that happened today with this message. I started having doubts last night. And I talked to Caleb about it, and even he pointed out my duty is to bring the message, touching hearts is God's turn, right? So I grew in my trust, but I still struggle. But memorizing 11:28-30, Matthew 11:28-30, was like a huge weight was just lifted off my shoulders. Jesus Christ wants to give me rest and offers to lighten my load. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's that amazing to me. It's been nothing short of life-changing. I'm not saying that I've perfected it, and I still struggle sometimes. But I can remember that Jesus wants to yoke up with me, and we'll talk about that more later. And along with other verses and things that I've learned in freedom at last and growing to be more like Christ, I feel like a new creation. And like many of you might be, I thought I was doing pretty good before. But now, even though, like I said, I'm still not close to being perfect, I've gotten so much more Christ-like than I've ever been before. So that's why I'm giving such a long, glowing testimony for Freedom at Last. I've seen how much it's helped me to grow. And I'm sure that everyone else involved in it could give similar testimonies. I'm finding freedom from stress and worry and fear. I'm loving God and others more because Jesus is my only source of freedom at last. So now, after this long, lengthy background of this passage, let's actually turn our focus on the passage itself. Good idea, Mr. Bruce. And I hope it'll comfort you as much as it has me. And though I don't think it's going to be as involved as this background has been, lunch might not come as early as you expected. But we'll see. So it begins, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that not a beautiful and comforting sentence? We could probably just leave it right there and still feel good about it. But if we go deeper, we see that it gets even better. So let's do that so we can get all that we can from it. Of course, Jesus begins by saying, come to me. What a wonderful invitation that is. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God the Son, is inviting us all to come to him. This reminds me of the song that we've been singing in August, Jesus Strong and Kind. And relax, I'm not going to sing it. All right. If I ever sing a solo, it'll be so low that you can't hear it. But it says that Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him, because no one else can satisfy. Jesus said that if I am weak, I should come to him, and he will give me strength. And Jesus said if I should fear, I should come to him, and he will be my shield. And this is backed up in John 6:35-37, when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Jesus invites everyone to come to him and will never reject anyone who comes to him. And this is what he's saying in the previous passages and or verses in Matthew in verses 25-27. I'm not going to go through them, but that kind of puts it in context. So we start with a sincere, heartfelt invitation. And as we continue, I'd like a show of hands of anyone here who labors and are heavy laden, Raise your hands. Does anybody feel like you're tired from the heavy burden that you're carrying? That's it? All right, raise them high. Raise them high. All right. All right, now, by the same show of hands, who would like to rest? Be relieved of your burdens. All right, thank you. Jesus says, if we labor and are heavy laden, come to him and he will give us rest. Could have been another verse in that song, couldn't it? But digging a little deeper, this is not simply just talking about carrying the burden of work, responsibilities, and worries of this world. It's speaking of the burden that sinners futilely trying to save themselves by keeping the law or being good enough. Again, you see this in verses 25 to 27. And Jesus says in Luke 11:46, woe to you also lawyers. I don't think we have any lawyers here. But woe to you also lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear. And you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. The self-righteous scribes and lawyers were burdening the people with rules. I think I read somewhere they had like over 430 rules that they had come up besides the commandments the people had to follow. And I talked to the kids about it. It's like, can you imagine even just trying to memorize 430 something rules, let alone obeying them? But this is the burden that they were putting on people. But Jesus said, no more. I will give you rest. It's reminiscent of the first beatitude in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed literally means happy, fortunate, or blissful. And it's more than just a surface emotion, but divinely bestowed well-being of the faithful, according to the commentary of John MacArthur. Poor in spirit is the deep humility of recognizing one's utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. Again, quoting John MacArthur. They will receive riches in heaven by God's infinite grace. But we can find rest in Christ, and only in Christ, by knowing Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. All right, I'm feeling really interactive this morning. So one more time. By a show of hands, how many of you have oxen at home? Nobody? Really? Well, that's good, because I don't know what I would have said if anybody actually raised their hand to that question. I think most of us are familiar with 2 Corinthians 6:14, at least somewhat, which says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we tend to associate this with marriage or dating, right? But it actually refers to the Old Testament prohibition of joining two different kinds of livestock together, meaning that Christians should not be bound to unbelievers in any way that would hurt the believer's testimony. But here in Matthew 11:29, Jesus tells us who labor and are heavy laden to take my yoke upon you. Now, as we've already established, it's not very common for us to have oxen hang around home these days. But for those hearing this at that time, they would have been very familiar with the practice of putting a young ox into the yoke, the wooden beam joining the two oxen, with an older, well-trained ox. And the young ox had to follow the lead of the older one and learn from the older how to pull straight. So Jesus is saying here in verse 29, I want you to join with me and let me decide what direction we'll go. as you learn this new way of living. And if you will, I will bear most of the weight, and you will learn what you need to know to have peace and rest in your life while we get the work done for my Father. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm going to complain with you. I'm not that smart, okay? And I'm not an expert at training oxen. I get this information straight out of the Freedom in the Last book. And it's just one example to help you understand why this discipleship ministry can help all of us, regardless of our addiction or stage of growth. And contributed to this short passage touching my heart so much. So take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. Once again, I refer to the Freedom of the Last book to point out that in the early New Testament times, when a disciple followed a teacher, he was said to take on the yoke of that teacher. We learn from him so we can know him and be like him. The third unit or characteristic in Freedom That Lasts is adding knowledge, which they define as knowing the person, words, and ways of Jesus Christ. We learn Christ so we can know Christ, because unless we know Christ, we can't be like Christ. This is not just memorizing scripture or learning facts. And we see in God's word that Satan can quote scripture probably better than any of us can. And he and the demons know for a fact that Jesus is God's son. But this knowledge doesn't save them. We have to use what we know, obey him, grow to be like him, and serve our Lord. We're not saved by these works, but they are fruit that comes from salvation and show our salvation. And we learn that he is gentle and lowly in heart. In John 13, 14, 4 through 17, Jesus humbles himself. He kneels down and washes the feet of the disciples. This passage, it always grosses out the kids whenever we tell them. And Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. If Jesus the Christ humbled himself to be a servant, how by any stretch of the imagination can we ever be puffed up in pride? What song did we sing this morning? By my insistence. All my boast is in Jesus. And I got to confess, Caleb wanted to put that off another week. But I'm like, no, I'm using it today. We really need to sing it. So I'm sorry about that. But all my boast is in Jesus, right? What do we have to boast about? Nothing. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest from the endless, frustrating, and impossible efforts to save ourselves by following the works of the law. Jesus says in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We find rest by knowing Christ, and we are freed from the burden of the law. And finally, we find rest by leaning on Christ. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Could there be a more tender, sweet, and fitting way to end this passage and chapter? I can't imagine one. We know that we know that the Christian life is anything but easy. It's downright hard, right? In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." The Apostle Paul describes frustration with the war of the flesh and spirit in Romans 7, 14 to 25, saying he does what he doesn't want to do and he doesn't do what he wants to do. Anybody ever had that problem? I know I do. Right? So the Christian life is hard. Obedience is hard. Jesus' instructions for us go against our very nature. That's why he has to tell us. And that's why it's impossible to find salvation in the law. So how can Jesus say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light"? Well, because of what we learned earlier. We're not alone. We are yoked with our teacher, Jesus Christ. He guides us and lightens our load. It would be impossible if we had to do it alone. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And the benefits far outweigh any difficulty. 1 John 5, 3 through 5 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Again, the Christian life and obedience to his commandments are hard. But our faith in Jesus Christ and being yoked with him enables us to not only overcome sin and its penalty, death, but we also share in his victory over the powers of this world. And 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Make no mistake, friends. Life can be hard. But if you're yoked with Jesus, he's doing the heavy lifting. And when it comes to salvation, he did it all. So yes, we find rest by leaning on Christ. As I draw this to a close, I just want you to know that I've earnestly sought God's leading on this. And I'll be honest, I've really struggled with it. I've shared with some of you this morning, I was really struggling with, was I preaching his message or mine? And I really think that maybe Satan was maybe not wanting me to preach this message. I don't know. But I struggle. Because I want to give the message that he put on my heart to share. Prayer on top of prayer on top of prayer, including this morning. I think I've made it abundantly clear that I feel very strongly about freedom that lasts as a discipleship ministry, as well as being an addictions ministry, because I see the need, and I've seen that it's making a difference in my life, and I'm hearing others say that it's making a difference in them as well. But most importantly, because That's where God led me. I'm not pushing an agenda. I've shared a passage that has become my life verse in hopes that it might help at least one of you. We find rest in Christ because we labor and we are heavy laden. And he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest from the futile burden of trying to obey a law that we can't obey. Rest from worry, from fear, from stress. Freedom from the bondage of sin. We can find rest in Christ by knowing Christ. He invites us to yoke up with him so that he can train us and guide us and lighten our load. We learn from him so we can know him and be more like him. And we use what we know so we can serve the Lord by serving others humbly, just as he did, so that others will see him in us and be drawn to him. And we find rest in leaning on Christ. The Christian life is hard. The gate is narrow. The way is difficult. Obedience is hard, as our flesh wars with our spirit. But we're not alone. We are yoked up with Christ, and he does the heavy work. And because we are yoked to him, we can overcome sin, death, and share in his victory over the powers of this world. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is asking you to come. Go to him. Take his yoke upon you. Learn from him and find rest in him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, again, I'm just thankful for this opportunity to share my heart with the people I love so much. And I just pray that if just one person from this audience or watching online, if just one person can come to you and find rest, it'll all be worth it. And I just thank you for your word that we can learn from and take comfort from. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was talking with Greg before the service about just how much I missed being at church, and how literally my daughter had just signs that on Wednesday that she wouldn't have been not contagious anymore until after Friday, Saturday morning. And I told him, I was like, I had tears in my eyes. It's like, oh, I need my church so bad. And I really wanted to come on Friday night to the Freedom That Lasts. And I said, but I was really thankful that was my feeling inside, that my heart was, man, I need that preaching. I need the time with people. And it just kind of struck me that when you're malnourished spiritually, you don't really realize it. You don't really know what it's like to that. And as Bruce was preaching, he was talking about you'll find rest for your soul. And I think a lot of people don't know what that feels like. They don't realize they're not resting. They don't realize that they have a problem. They're like, oh no, I'm fine. All my bills are paid and not worrying. Like, but are you having that rest for your soul? And I've had challenges with that here over the past couple months that I've been asking the Lord to help me with. And that verse that Bruce mentioned is a big one I go to, because when I do it God's way, there's rest for my soul. And man, it really, really has been impactful to dig into God's word in a new way that I've never have before in Freedom That Lasts. And so I hope if you have any questions about the program itself before you even want to come to one of us, we'll tell you. We have no trouble about that. But then most importantly, I hope that you're finding that rest that comes with knowing Christ. Let's stand together. We're going to sing 566, I Am Resolved. I hope you can say that with a truthful heart, that you're resolved to no longer linger. And we'll sing verse 1 and 5. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Benediction. It says Jeremy, so I don't know if Bruce was planning on it or I will, but I'll read it. Beloved, to you is the grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Titus 1:4. Go in peace. You're dismissed.